got there first. Danny Cochimilio. Happy Monday, Danny. You always get there first, buddy. Right on. It's like, are you sitting there waiting like here comes? Click. All right. Carl's out there too. 73s from that's Ham Radio Talk for hello or have a good one or cheers, whatever, all the way from Oshawa. Dom Fernandez watching on YouTube. Have a great show. Thanks, Dom. Glad to hear that you you made it home today, right? That's cool. Glad to hear that you're back home. Why would you want to be anywhere else, right? I'm just going to click the share button here. If you guys are up for it, take a moment and share the show to your personal timelines or wherever. I really appreciate that. And I've got a good show for you. Well, I think it's always a good show, right? It's nice to see some music happening out in public again. We're able to get out and enjoy that some more. So I know lots of musicians have been planning some great things. Of course, Border Fest has made their announcements. We'll be talking about that in the upcoming weeks. Canada Day parades are going to be happening again, not just here in Sarnia. Brights Grove is going to be having theirs as well. So we'll be bringing you up to date on all of that. And Jay Peckham, afternoon to you as well. Boy, stick around, Jay. Let's talk. Do you want to, let's talk Sarnia Sting. But anyway, we've got some musical guests coming up here the second half of the show today. Dave Brown is going to be joining me for an update on United Way. They've got some things kind of running ahead of the game this time, so that's good. He'll be here to give us an update. Always got to say thank you to my sponsors. And check that out at the top there. If you haven't visited my website, theshowlive.live, there's other things happening there. And I'm going to be revamping that a little bit. We'll be doing some live broadcasting right to the website. Yeah, things in the works for a new website, etc. But check out our sponsors, Hughes Intelligence, who not only sponsors the show here all year, but they sponsor the broadcasts at the Sarnia Sting. And they allowed us to use their hockey suite for a lot of the broadcasts when nobody was there but us, media, right? So thanks to Barry and his team for their support. Joe's Discount Tire, always make sure you got good tires. We worry a lot about making our car go. We don't worry about it stopping, and we don't worry about the traction as much as we should. So make sure you got good tires, and you can visit them. They're right at the bottom of the Indian Road overpass. Tell them David Burrow sent you to Joe's Discount Tire. Huron Signs SWO, which is part of the AG Event Graphics group of companies. Thank you very much to Guy and his team for their support. And Tourism Sarnia Lambton, an official partner here, as well as at our Sarnia Sting broadcast as well. And we'll be working closely with them throughout the warm weather months as well. So check them all out online. And yeah, let's go back. Oh my God, they aren't doing good right now, the Sting. No. I guess that's one way of putting it. Hopefully things get better. Well, they're running out of time, right? I mean, over the last, since Sunday, they've had a straight loss, right? They were in Windsor, lost that 5-1 last week. And then Saturday, went down to Saginaw, lost that 5-4. They were supposed to play the Sioux Greyhounds last evening, but the Mackinac Bridge was closed for some reason. So it was postponed. That'll be on tonight if you're watching live Monday. Puck drop is 7:07. I don't – like, why not 7:05? Why not 7:10? Why 7:07? I don't understand, but that's the puck drop time. And they're going to be on the road still for quite a while. They'll be taking on the Erie Otters, Kitchener Rangers, and the Flint Firebirds. They'll be doing back-to-back Flint Firebirds before they get back here on April the 15th to again take on – Saginaw. Now, when they play Saginaw again, it's I don't know if that's going to be revenge time or what. Dare I bring up the last time they played, they were leading 5-2 at the end of the second period and then would come out losing that game in overtime 9-8. And if you weren't there to witness it, it was really my friend Jay Peckham. He's still shaking his head. It was honestly an embarrassing moment. And we had Coach Al Letang after, I feel bad for Coach Letang when he comes out the post game press conference He's just been repeating himself. The coaching staff been repeating himself over and over on the things they have to do. And it's got to be super frustrating as a coach. But all you can do is sweep it under the rug, learn from it, I guess, and then keep moving forward. But they're running out of time because, at least in the Western Conference, there's four teams looking for playoff position. The Kitchener Rangers, Erie Otters, Sarnia Sting, and Saginaw Spirit, who are in last place. But I've shown they're able to come out when they have to. So four teams in the Western Conference there, with the Windsor Spitfires at the top of that. And the Hamilton Bulldogs, not only in the Eastern Conference, have clinched their playoff position, but they've also clinched the division as well. So there's a team to beat for sure. So there's still time, but they're running out of time. We got to get them. What do you say, Jay Peckham? What do you tell them, right? There's nothing, you know, at this stage of the game, there's nothing more to coach on, I don't think, right? He just says, let's hope for the best. And, I mean, it's hockey. Not everybody can win, but darn it, all those, right? Jay Peckham, I can see him gritting his teeth already. So, anyway, we'll see what happens there. And like Jay Peckham says, hope for the best. Hey, I want to remind you, too, that motorcycles are on the road. I haven't been out on mine yet. I don't think Jay Peckham's been out on his. Mother Nature's, well, she's kind of annoying me. I'm not going to lie about that. Come on. Right? We're April, what is it today? 4th, 5th? I don't know. Yeah, the 4th today. And this time last year, I was on my motorcycle on March 4th, and I'd been out probably 20 times by this time, Mother Nature. So, I don't know. I can't complain too much. We live in southwestern Ontario. And if we get out by May, we'll have May, June, July, August, September, October, maybe 6 and 7 months. You never know, right? But some crazy people are out on their motorcycles already, so keep an eye out there. And for those of us who ride on motorcycles, we got to remember to be responsible on our motorcycles and respect the road of others as well. Right? What are you saying? I ask desperately for some biker weather, right? I know. And I see some, you know, like I got my Firebird that I bought last year and I had it out for a month and then had to store it away. So I'm really anxious to get, what's going to go first, the car or the motorcycle? Probably the motorcycle. Maybe the car. I don't know. I'm torn now. Anyway, so cross fingers for your Sarnia Sting. And again, coming up on the April the 15th will be the next and final home game of the season for the Sarnia Sting, because they'll have that. Then they go on the road again. So if you haven't seen a game yet, come on out anyway. Show their support. When a team is down, that's when we need to support them the best, right? So don't you agree, Jay Peckham? I think you agree, Jay Peckham. What else did I want to tell you guys? There was something else. Happy Monday. Yes, of course, all that. If you haven't joined my mailing list yet, you can go to the website there as well and sign up for that. And, of course, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, more on Instagram now than I have been in the past. So go check me out there. And for those of you who are watching on LinkedIn Live, hello. Thanks for watching us there as well. I could go on, but we won't, because we got lots to talk about. My friend Dave Brown is—he's always, you know, I always know I don't have to sweat it with him. Like I know he's always early, which means he's actually on time. And because if you're on time, you're late, right, Dave?
Absolutely right, David. And it's a pleasure to be here. So I want to make sure I don't let you down.
Oh boy, you're awesome. Well, how's things in your neck of the woods?
Well, actually, pretty good. We just had the United Way annual general meeting on Wednesday of last week. So that officially closes the door on 2021, not just the campaign, but the entire year. You know, at the annual general meeting, we have our auditor's report, which is a third-party independent auditor, like most charities do.
Yeah,
right. reported to our board of directors what our financials were. Keeping our costs low as possible, of course, is very important to the board, and yeah, we did just that. So we're pleased with that, and we're pleased at the amount of money that we were able to invest in community programs and services, even given that we didn't quite reach the goal.
Yeah, how much short did you come up?
We were at less than 6% short. We hit 94.3%, I think. And in all honesty, it looked like the end of November, beginning of December, we're going to be closer to 10%. So we're really grateful to the community. And we say that every year, but we always are. Just coming together for us at the end there and, you know, bringing in that almost $90,000 in the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, we repeat ourselves, but it's true. This community knows how to come together when it has to. And I mean, you're still providing many services. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to cut things back, but that's, I mean, money is part of that. Well, it's that it's like oxygen. We need it to live, right?
That's right. You know, we had to cut for coverages. One, we didn't reach as much we had hoped, but also we're changing our focus because of the COVID-19 pandemic. There's more people who are in poverty or low income now than there were maybe even 3 or 4 years ago. So we've pivoted a little bit our funding to help those people who are, you know, having a hard time keeping their head above water, while at the same time fund the most important youth, seniors, and mental health programming at the same time.
And I like that you mentioned the fact, I always like to bring this up, that it's not just about the seniors programs. I think sometimes people think United Way and they think seniors, right. But there's a lot of youth programs that United Way supports as well.
Absolutely. Right now, the biggest slice of the pie would go to poverty-related type programs and services like warming shelters and food banks and that kind of thing. But then the next piece would certainly be youth programs, you know, Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Yeah. The YMCA Summer Autism Camp, the resource houses are just a few examples of that.
Yeah, great. Well, that takes money, right? And I know you're kind of already campaigning for 2022. It's sort of become an all-year thing now instead of just sort of a certain time frame, right?
Hey, you're absolutely right. You know, when I first started with United Way in the mid-1980s, we were pretty much just the fall. Come the second week of September until middle to the end of November, we were pretty much done. But now with you know, with more people out fundraising for some outstanding causes, with the changing nature of the workplace, I mean, imagine 20 years ago we had Dow and we had Ubi and Woodbridge Foam and Ontario. Yeah, right. So now we're looking further into our community to get that same amount of money. And a lot of it is now individualized donors from people who may be retired or at-home businesses, which takes a lot more effort and work than it would be just going to Ontario Power Generation or to Dow Chemical and walk away, thanks to the generosity of the companies and the employees, with $100,000 or so.
Yeah. Well, and thank goodness for those super large companies. But like you said, it's really become more individualized. What is it with you, the United, when I say you, the United Way and food fundraisers? Here we are again. Global Donuts is involved.
Yeah, we're looking forward to partnering up with Gus over at Global Donuts in Delhi on London Line. They're going to do a United Way specialty donut for us. I'll give your viewers a bit of an insight. It's really a Boston cream donut, but instead of chocolate icing, it's red icing. So that'll be exciting. The United Way is going to get all proceeds from that. And of course,
the gyms are open again.
Yes. And of course, your viewers will probably remember we just had a Dante Club frozen meal event on Thursday. How did that go? Really well, almost $600. So we're really happy with that. It's a great opportunity to raise additional money during that non-campaign time. So people do think of the United Way and our 33 agencies at other times of the year.
Yeah. Every little bit helps, right? As we like to say. And I want to give a shout out to Gus and his team there, because I mean, they've been there for years. I've known Gus for a long time, and he and his family are just always, it's not just United Way. There are so many different charities. They just constantly give back. We go out of our way to Global Donuts when we're in that area of the woods, because you get a friendly hello in the drive-through. You get a friendly smile when you go up to the front desk. Like, they're all, and they're their own family there as well. So we're supporting them, and they're supporting our community as well. So kudos to Gus and his family.
You're absolutely right, David. When I first pitched the idea to Gus, it was one of the easiest sells I'd ever made. I didn't even think I was finished saying the sentence. He said, great, we're in. What they'd want to do it. I mean, it was that easy. So you're right. Kudos to them. And the other nice thing with Global is they really are local. And, you know, you and I have been a theme for you and a theme for United Way as well. It's that local group. And, you know, I look forward to meeting with Gus in the next couple of weeks to go over some final details. But you're right. They're an outstanding local business, like so many others are in this community.
Yeah. That's great. April 27th, that's going to be happening. So everybody, put that on your calendar, and we'll, and don't just go and buy one. You know, what you do is you order a couple of dozen and then you hand them out to people and surprise them.
You're there anyways. And if you're going to spend gas money to get to buy one donut, you might as well buy a box.
That's right. That's
simple,
right.
Simple economics.
Yeah. Right. So are you buying me a donut and I'm buying you a donut? Is that?
I would be happy. In fact, I might even buy you a whole darn box. How's that, Dave?
I'll have to eat it before my wife gets home, that's for sure. Willpower. Boy, when we say willpower, this is really meaning something different than the Willpower campaign. You guys have partnered with Rajon. This is actually a national campaign, but you're making it local as well.
Yeah, Willpower, in short, is a campaign that's being put on by the Canadian Association of Gift Planners. And what they want to do is they want to encourage and inform Canadians to support charities through their wills, through their, you know, end-of-life planning. And they know that about 42% of the Canadian population are interested in doing that, but only about 5% do. And one of the biggest reasons why so few do is, number one, they don't think about it. It's not top of mind. But also, they want to leave money for family and loved ones, too. They don't necessarily realize that you can do both. And so the Willpower campaign is all about promoting that aspect to Canadians. And if they can increase that 5% of Canadians to 8.5%, that translates into $40 billion for Canadian charity. So it's a significant amount of money. They also want to get across that donating through your will isn't just for rich people. Everybody's got a net worth when they pass. And as you said earlier today, every little bit helps. So, you know, if we can get 8.5% of people to leave something in their wills, $40 billion for Canadians. This campaign, David, is based on what they've been doing in the United Kingdom for decades. And they're now up to 17%. So you can imagine the long-term potential there for charities like the United Way and like Rajon. And one of the nice things about partnering with Rajon is there's only two organizations in all of Sarnia-Lambton that belong to the Willpower campaign, ourselves and them. And we do a great job focusing on local programming and services. They do an outstanding job globally, primarily within the Americas, but, you know, doing women's work and community building globally. So it's a great fit, and we look forward to matching up with them for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and like you said, everybody should have a will. And I read a statistic not too long ago that only about 70% of Canadians actually have one.
Wow.
And those that do haven't updated it in 100 years, right? Because you get one when you first buy a house and you get married and you have kids, but then life changes, right? And I know there's so many great ways to get your will. And it's probably not as expensive as people might think.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of really good lawyers in town that can help individuals out, whether they're, as you say, getting a brand new will together. And there's so much to think about. So, you know, I certainly really do advise you to speak to somebody who is in the business and set something up. Compared to how much money you're going to lose to the government if you pass without
nobody likes money. Giving money to the government
at the best times, exactly. Right?
Yeah, and I asked somebody the other day, it was kind of funny. We were just talking about this actually, and I said, you know, let me ask you a question. I said, when do you need a will? And he says, well, when you die, and I'm like, no, before you die. Once you die, you don't have a will, it's too late. So
that's right.
And it's nice to know that you do have quite a few individuals in the county that do donate portions of their will to the United Way, right?
Yes. In fact, we've got what we call our Sarnia-Lambton Future Fund Foundation, which right now is approaching $3 million. And we're in the middle of transitioning that off to a separate corporation. So it's off the United Way books. But that almost $3 million has been raised through people leaving money through their wills, which is great for sustainability for us, because we take a percentage of that each and every year and apply directly into agency funding, which takes a little bit of pressure off the campaign and gives the agencies that much more secured funding on a sustainable level that money is there. So our goal is to get that up to $10 million over the next 5 to 6 years so that we could have some $350,000 to $400,000 each and every year flowing directly into the agency funding.
Yeah. Now, you come up with these ideas, like you've got a small but powerful team there behind you, or beside you, I should say, at the United Way. Is it your team that comes up with these ideas? Is it the board of directors, or is it a combination of both?
It really is a combination of both. You know, I've always said the United Way is not one person or five people. It's a community-wide effort. And sometimes we get great ideas from the community at large. Somebody who's maybe has been a donor or a volunteer for many years, was overseas or in another community, and they saw something being done for that United Way or that charity, and they let us know about it. So it really is a community-wide team effort to come up with ideas and to see them through. You know, again, any one of us can come up with some great ideas, but if we don't have buy-in from the community or buy-in from the board members, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. And the media helps, right? I mean, you know, like we've got lots of different local medias here that seem to be, you know, the radio station to different newsprints that still exist. That's got to be a big support in all of this for United Way.
Absolutely. The local media has been spectacular. You know, lack of an even better word than that. Both the traditional media, that we know with the Observer and Blackburn Radio, but the new media and social media, and that's becoming more and more important every year as well.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of simple and effective when we just had traditional media to worry about, but now with social media and traditional media, much like the show, we're reaching new audiences, new ways of getting the story across and the information across, and it has had a profound effect, particularly as we're transitioning from those large workplace campaigns like we talked about earlier, and more individualized giving at all different demographics.
Yeah, it's another way to fundraise, I guess, too, right? Is more online and coming out of the pandemic as we are, we seem to. I mean, it's still there, but we're outside again, I guess. Are you transitioning back into some old ways or previous ways, or is there going to be that and still a bunch of online?
Well, I think online donations are going to be with us to stay. But I think, though, that there's a happy medium in between. For example, right now, I will do a lot of video presentations that might last 5 or 10 minutes to different units in the valley or different workplaces and whatnot. They may still remain with the electronic pledge card, but I may be able to actually show up and be in front of them.
Yeah.
And do the presentation there. I mean, as we've talked before, fundraising is very much an old school business where it's face to face. It's human interaction.
Yeah, right.
And although we've learned a lot over the last couple of years with online donating and online advertising and whatnot, it's still very difficult to replace that human touch. And so we're hoping that we can kind of combine the two going forward, have a few more public events like barbecues. You know, we're hopeful we're going to have a positive announcement on a Day of Caring coming forward.
Nice.
So we're hoping it's going to be a really nice mix. So we're excited about 2022.
Awesome. Well, as always, you and your team do a great job to support the services that you provide, and thank you very much for that. And are you letting people walk in the door now to say hello?
Absolutely. In fact, we've had a number of donors come in recent weeks. Some have made their donations of stock. You probably know that energy stocks and pipeline stocks are at or near 52-week highs. So yeah. People who would traditionally donate in the fall, their Imperial shares or the Suncor shares are actually coming in the office now. We've had a couple, and I know several others have talked about it, and make their donation now, which has resulted in more money for the United Way and a better tax credit for the donor. So You don't have to wait till fall. As you talked earlier, it's really a year-round event, and the form is available on our website to download. If you're interested in donating stock, please do.
All right. Dave Brown, as always, and I always say we're due for that one-on-one connection.
I'm just waiting for the nice weather. You can ride your bike. I'll walk over, and we'll have a couple of beers and a lunch.
Sounds really good. Dave, thanks so much for joining me, and say hello to the team for me.
It's always a pleasure, David. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Dave Brown, Executive Director from United Way, Sarnia Lambton, with his monthly visit to give us an update. Over $100,000 been raised for 2022 so far, but that's just the scratch on the scratch on the scratch of the surface of what they need come the end of the year. And you can give some of that support by going and buying a donut on April the 27th. The United Way gets all the proceeds from a special United Way donut available at Global Donuts out on London. What is it? The London Line, Golden Mile, number 7. It was a Golden Mile back in my day, but everybody knows where it is. Go out and say hi to Gus. And again, shout out to Gus and his team for giving their support. All right. Well, one of the things we love to do in this town, for sure, it's definitely a hub for music. And many musicians are excited to be out and playing again. And a stranger for a while to the show, but he's back. Harold Collins, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. You heard my intro there. You got to be, as a musician, super excited to get back out and entertain the crowds.
Definitely. I mean, fortunately, we've been playing kind of since August of 2021 with a small break there again after Christmas. But, yeah. I mean, it almost feels like the last 2 years or the 17 months we didn't play was almost like a lifetime ago. Seems like now.
Yeah. Everything was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But through all of this though, have you and your band anyway, have been able to keep practicing and staying connected virtually or otherwise?
Yeah, kind of both really. Obviously we, you know, took into consideration COVID protocols at the beginning. And then when everybody felt comfortable, we got together when we could. We did a lot of writing, really.
Right.
And now with two of our members living, one living in Goderich and one in London, we use technology as much as we possibly can for that. So,
yeah. How does that work? I know everybody in the beginning of all this was kind of like, oh, but there's delays and there's this and that. Was that a bit of an obstacle to overcome in the beginning?
So we've never actually rehearsed virtually, I guess. So we just took advantage of, you know, when we were in writing, recording and sending out parts and then sending them back via email or whatever, sometimes a Zoom meeting or Facebook chat meeting to have discussions about things. Like we did that as opposed to really rehearsing. And then when everybody was comfortable and, you know, felt okay with getting together in a room, we did that. So.
Right. Was this would you say this was a hidden opportunity for groups like yourself to kind of regroup and look at yourselves and go, okay, well, let's try something new? Or did you stay with the same style and put out new material?
Good question. No, I think we personally, my band Circle of the City, we evolved our sound. We were actually like, so yeah, the pandemic happened and we released an EP and then that happened in the pandemic. And then, so we just started into new material, right away, essentially. So, but it's evolved over time. So I guess, we used it as an opportunity to kind of not consciously say we want to sound like this, but let's maybe take our time because we have it to do, you know, something new.
Yeah. And did you learn anything new about yourself or as the band when you were, because sometimes writing can take, sometimes you can write something in 10 seconds, you know, you've heard the story, you know, like Fleetwood Mac wrote that song in 10 minutes, but then there's other times you really, it can be a long process. And so not as much writing gets done, I guess. So was this an opportunity to be able to focus on that more than you might normally would?
Yes and no. I think the amount of time we had maybe hindered some things and there was no push to get anything done. I know I personally in the band did not want to release music during a pandemic because I think it was the last thing anybody really cared about. and even, you know, going forth with those, you know, virtual shows, it was something that at first we kind of thought about doing and it was like, that's not really our thing. So I think the break and the amount of time we had, maybe it was good, but it was also, we just, you know, I would keep writing riffs and then be like, we'll do something with that later. And, you know, we focused on a couple of things, yes, but not with the same push as right now when we're playing and things are happening. So,
Okay. So the Spring Fling concert is coming down to Collide. This, I guess that's this Saturday, right?
It is.
April the 9th. And yeah. Is this something that you organized and put together, or how did this come about?
Yeah. So this is a Sarnia Indie Night event. Unfortunately, Theater 42 closed because of the pandemic, which is heartbreaking because I loved it there. And
it was a great venue.
Yeah. And everybody involved with that place were amazing to work with. I guess it had been in the back of my mind to keep wanting to do it, and not opportunities, but ideas came up of where would I do it? Would I just rent out somewhere, say like the Polish Hall, and then get a liquor license and all that. And I didn't really want to do that. So I just looked for new places, and I knew of Collide and I went and checked it out and spoke with the staff there and thought it would be a really unique place to hold an event like this, I guess. And I know they've had bands in there before and done other events. I just kind of put it together. And then when I had a lot of time and like my work schedule wasn't hectic and my band schedule and my personal life, and then everything completely changed after.
Yeah, because you've got a young family going on, right?
Yeah, I have a 1.5-year-old and a wife that's working a shutdown right now, and I'm on a shutdown right now. And then my band is very active outside of Sarnia and traveling a lot for gigs. And then I'm also sitting in on guitar for another band that's playing this same event on Saturday. So I'll be hosting, doing sound, and playing in two bands. It just came up. I thought, this shouldn't be too hard. It's new, but then life changed and got busier and kind of just adapted.
Yeah. And we just posted the link in our comments there so people can go and get the tickets. $8 online or $10 at the door. Yep. There's a couple of bands I've never heard of. We've got A Million Ghosts.
Yep.
Where are they from?
So those guys are from Sarnia. They were actually scheduled to play an indie night I had scheduled in April of 2020. I had them in like 4 other bands, I think, for back then at Theater 42. So they're from Sarnia. I had them scheduled, and then myself and those guys hooked up, and I'm actually recording an album for them, helping them with that. And so, nice. You know, our relationship kind of grew, and I think they're a great band. My band has played a couple of gigs with them. And then because I had them on a slot prior, I was like, well, I want to get them on another one. So
nice. And then New Moon Views.
Yeah. So that came out of, I'm sure you've heard of the band Roots of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one member from Roots of Rome kind of going off and doing her own thing. It's, I'm actually sitting in on guitar on that one. So it's eclectic mix of ukulele with some jazz and blues, I guess.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's Christine Ionis, Joe Ionis on drums, her husband, and then myself on guitar, and the bass player from Circle the City as well, Nathan Yaden, sitting in. So it's, you know, our style a little bit mixed in with hers, and just kind of, you know, she's the boss. I just play. Really,
you're colliding,
correct? Yeah,
there you go. A loud thing. So, is that, what are they, loud rock and roll, or what are they?
They are loud, yes. I think this is one of my favorite bands that I've kind of stumbled across. So, they're from Sarnia as well. They play at Mods quite often, and I can't pin them down with one sound, but they're like psychedelic, jazz, shoegaze.
Well, they're going for every chart.
Yeah, they're definitely the definition of an indie band, like indie rock. They're great. I think I've been fortunate enough to play a couple gigs with them, and I'm excited for people who haven't heard them to come and hear them.
I must be getting old, Harold, because I've been around a while and I haven't heard of a few of these bands. So maybe I got to get back into the swing of things out there. And Mods is not far from me. So
no,
they've been doing great. Well, as a shout out to Mods.
Yeah, definitely. Had the chance to play there back in November, and it's a great little spot for bands, and it's really unique. A lot of these bands, I think, came, you know, maybe started up prior to the pandemic and then, you know, stuck through it and then came out of it ready to play shows. And you know, like I said, New Moon Views, this is their first show as a band.
They must be excited.
Yeah, A Million Ghosts. I mean, they've only played a handful of shows again because of the pandemic. And then A Loud Thing, I think after the pandemic was their first few gigs. So
exciting. And the Gypsy Flats, of course. We do. Is there anything we can say about them we don't already know? You know, with Cassie on lead vocals and the rest of the band, they're just, they've really, I mean, I met them first. Well, I knew Mike years ago, but I really met them as a band, like, probably about 5 years ago,
yeah, or
maybe it might be a little longer, at Canada Day. I knew them before, and they've just really grown exponentially. When I say that, as a band, like, they've all had talent, but they just keep shining more and more. I just watched them do a cover of Gnarls Barkley, Crazy, and I was like, how are they going to do this? And then, wow, they just made it their own.
Yeah, well, they're definitely a household name in Sarnia.
Yeah.
I think what maybe some people might not know about them is they do have originals. And on Saturday, they will be playing almost a full set of originals. So,
is that right?
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing with the Indie Nights, too, is it's to showcase, showcase and network bands, kind of to try and help push our music scene, I guess. And then also... one of the rules, in air quotations, it's not really a rule, but you know, I kind of ask bands to play at least an 80% set of originals. If you want to throw in a couple covers, great, but the show is there for you to play your own music. So
yeah, I hope I can make it down there, because I've got it in my calendar and I've got to flip a few things around, but I'm really excited for seeing this happening. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you for, you know, sticking with the, you know, I remember when you started the Indie Nights, we'd had several conversations before you even brought it to life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've worked really hard, and I know it's been a real passion project for you, and you've been pulling it off. I hope to see, so I'm assuming then after this one, we can plan to see, some more Sarnia Indie Nights coming out of somewhere.
I'm not going to commit to anything just yet.
If your wife says it's okay.
Yeah. She's really supportive. And yeah, actually, I don't think I could do that without her supporting. It's also her birthday today. So happy birthday, Caitlin.
Right on.
I don't want to commit to anything yet. Like, it's a new venue. I want to see how that goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, develop a relationship with them. Hopefully. I think it's a great location downtown.
I've been there for Graham Holmes does his beer nights and, some other things. And, I think it'll be a great venue.
Yeah. So in the back of my mind, there are more Indie Nights, but it depends on a lot of things. My band is getting very busy, so that's kind of my first priority right now.
Yeah, well, you have to prioritize those things, right? And maybe someone else, you know, they can take the reins for a little while to try to keep it going and then lean on you for support at the same time. You know, I think there's lots of talent. I've said it before, Sarnia is really like a hub for musicians to connect, right? I think we've become that anyway over many, many years. So
yeah, there are a ton of great musicians here, and it's always refreshing and you know, kind of takes you back a little bit when you keep stumbling on, and you know, just how many good musicians we have in this town. So
just keep going forward. That's the only direction you got to go.
Yeah.
Harold, thanks so much for joining me. Before I let you go, any final, did we cover everything? Anything else you want to put out there?
I think that's it. Five bands, $8 advanced. There's a Facebook event. If you look on Sarnia Indie Nights, we're also on Instagram. Just Google or search Sarnia Indie Nights. $10 at the door, five bands. It's super cheap. Come support the local music scene.
Like $10 for five bands. Like,
yeah, you're not getting that anywhere else.
Nobody better be complaining.
No, absolutely not. And like I said, you know, come support these musicians that, you know, all have careers, and then on the side, they put all they can into their music. So it's a really good feeling when we have people show up and support what we're doing.
Yeah, 100%. Harold, thanks so much. And if I don't see you there, good luck on the show.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Dave. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome back anytime, sir.
Bye.
Harold Collins, the lead initiative on Sarnia Indie Nights. Nice to see that coming back to life. And that's the Spring Fling concert coming to Collide, which is downtown. I believe it's 148 Front Street, something like that. Down across from the Seaway Towers apartment building there. And then downstairs, it's a beautiful venue. They've got a beautiful bar set up down there and a stage. So it's definitely going to be a great place to have the Spring Fling concert. Get your tickets in advance. I've posted the link on our YouTube and onto our Facebook chat as well. They're only $8 if you get them online and $10 at the door. So, but I suspect this is going to do very well. So I recommend not waiting. Thanks again, Harold. Appreciate your efforts. And wow, great lineup there as well. Where's my calendar? I know I have it in my calendar. I hope I can go. I'm canceling everything else. I'm excited for this. Nice to have these venues again, as I said at the beginning of the show, and with the Spring Fling concert. And of course, we've got some other large events coming up as well. So hopefully we can continue to see that happening. All right. Well, thanks to both of my guests, my friend Dave Brown from United Way, Sarnia Lambton for his updates. And of course, Harold Collins once again for joining us there. And thanks again to all my sponsors, Hughes Intelligence, Joe's Discount Tire, Huron Signs SWO, and Tourism Sarnia Lambton. And of course, thanks to all of you. I would have no reason to be here if it wasn't for you folks here watching. Do me a huge favor and click the share button. Want to get some more attention for the show? I've got another show coming up, an additional show coming up. That's all I can tell you right now. That's going to be very exciting. For me to be able to bring to light for you and some other exciting announcements as well. So do me a huge favor and click the share button. And if you're watching the replay, do me a favor and type replay in the comments so that I know that you're at least here and watching. Thanks again for watching, everybody. That's all the time I got for you this week. Have a great week and an even better weekend. I will see you next time right here on the show. Bye for now.